This is the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Workplace theft and workplace conditions is the theme of this hour in the Phil Hendry Show. Robert Green joins us, who has had a confrontation and a possible civil suit filed against him by one of his employees. Mr. Green is the CEO of Fraser Foods. He's also the manager of their Buena Park store, which is essentially a grocery store. Is that right, Mr. Green?
That is correct. We are a grocery and high-level, high-chain store. We deal in household goods as well as food, groceries, dry goods, etc.
Now, sir, you have a problem with one of your employees, and that has to do with the workroom, the lunchroom, and her preparation of food?
Let me back up, if I could.
Well, is that the problem? This lady, whose name is not to be released by her attorney, but she allegedly claims that you allegedly took some food that she was preparing in a microwave in the lunchroom at your grocery store for your employees, and you threw it in a sink. You don't deny that, do you?
No, I've never denied that. What my attorney has been arguing, that we have the right to take that food out of that microwave and throw it into the sink, because it is a violation of the lunchroom rules that we have for our employees, and that is that only cold lunches are eaten. I've said this, will be the sixth time I've said this to the media that has called me.
Well, you'll forgive me, I'm the first, person.
No, I understand. It's just, we do not allow hot lunch, what I call a European-style lunch.
All right, this woman was preparing a hot lunch in a why do you have a microwave then?
We have a microwave, as I have said to other news media, we have a microwave in our lunchroom for employees who want to heat up coffee, heat up tea, make hot chocolate, or for a break in the afternoon, make popcorn. Not to eat a hot lunch, which we call a European-style lunch.
Can I interrupt here and ask you?
Well, I want to finish by saying that I've been made out to be the villain here, and I speak for literally thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of employers. The highway robbery that's going on today is uncalled for, since today's worker's never been treated better, but they still put a gun to your ribs, and they still treat you as if they're rolling you, and you're nothing more than a cheap John. We have a lunchroom where people bring sandwiches only, and they can bring a soft drink, and they can bring a salad from home, and whatever they can sit and eat, and then they get up and they go back to their job. We don't let people bring in spaghetti in Tupperware. We don't let people, and this was the...
Well, a lot of this is where I've got to jump in and ask my question.
Certainly.
A lot of people bring to work lunch in... are you at work right now?
No, sir, I'm not. I'm having a late lunch with some friends of mine, and your producer called me here.
All right. You do not allow what you call European-style lunches. That's a hot lunch?
That's a lunch that's hot. That's like stroganoff, that's spaghetti, that is chili, that is lasagna, that's European-style. That's not what we do in America. I'm personally tired of having employees come in with a little Tupperware cup full of some stew that maybe they made at home. Good for you. I'm glad you made stew. You don't bring it into my store, and you don't bring it into my lunchroom.
I think the question is why?
Why what?
Why won't you let them heat up their lunch? Why do they have to eat?
Because, first of all, the hot lunch is something that is from Europe, Mr. Henry. It is not an American tradition. It is not colloquial American. Americans eat cold lunches. We eat sandwiches. We eat salads. We may have a hamburger. We may have a hot dog. But it's something that's very quickly prepared, and it's cold. And you don't need a kitchen and a microwave to do it. I don't think I have to remind you or your listeners what the Europeans did to us during the Iraq War, the fact that they basically sold us out, the fact that they let us twist in the breeze while they stood by to see what was going to happen in Iraq. We have millions of reasons why we don't like the idea of Americans eating European-style lunches. On top of that, it takes away time to prepare the lunch. You have to heat it up. You take the cover off the Tupperware. You mix it around. You heat it again.
All right, okay, I get the idea. It's taking away time from...
Well, I'd like to finish if I could.
All right, let me give our phone number, okay?
Certainly, but I would like to finish because this is not a peccadillo of mine. This is not some idiosyncrasy. This is something that has worn on my nerves and grated on my ability to be a good employer, as well as many others.
All right, Robert Green is with us, the CEO of Fraser Foods. 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Mr. Green believes that people heating up their lunch in Tupperware containers in a microwave in the lunchroom is, you don't think it's wrong? It's
well, I think it's wrong from a standpoint that it takes time away from other jobs. I think it's wrong because it's not what we do in this country. I think it's wrong because it's the food they bring in smells horrible. And that is no joke. And a hot European lunch will explode all over the walls of the microwave. They leave a filthy microwave.
Well, all right. I understand that. So you have been sued. There was a job action.
No, this went before the California Labor Board, sir. This is not a lawsuit.
All right. It went before the California Labor Board. And you have been told that you basically threw away the prepared lunch of a diabetic woman.
I'd like to back up on that.
All right, hold on for a minute. You were accused. Did you not throw this woman's lunch away?
Yes, I did.
All right, now the woman was diabetic. She is an employee.
She's one of our checkers. I don't want to give her name because it's still being reviewed by the California Labor Board. She's one of our checkers. She's not all that great. She's often late to the job.
Is she truly late to the job?
Well, she's not the greatest checker in the world. And
is she diabetic?
Could I just say...
But do you know her to be diabetic?
That's what some doctor she hired claims. But let me tell you about the diabetes scam. Employers are being... employers have got a gun held to their head by the Diabetics of America because they claim I got to stop down and give myself a shot. I'm the father of three children. I see somebody stick a needle in themselves, and Mr... You know,
are you aware that diabetics have to give themselves shots of insulin?
Yes, sir, I am.
All right, then what do you mean? You're making a drug reference, aren't you?
No, what I'm saying is a lot of people use that as an excuse to take a 5-10 minute break, and they got a needle, and I don't know what's in it. They say they're diabetic. I don't know what's in it. And so they want to get hopped up on my time. And
do you suspect that this woman is getting hopped up on drugs rather than shooting herself with insulin?
I don't know, but I will tell you this whole diabetes thing, there's far fewer diabetics than they claim, and they always say they need a special meal, and I got sick of it, and I saw her cooking this thing up in my microwave, I bought it at Circuit City, and I said only hot chocolate and coffee, and there it is.
So you walked over to the microwave, according to this, her complaint.
Yeah.
You opened the door, you took her food out, you threw it in the sink, and then this girl had to go and eat some kind of a meal that was not safe, and she almost went into diabetic shock, or what is called insulin shock.
That's what the doctor claims, and you know what? They're going to have to prove that. And my lawyer, when they get them on the stand, will make them sweat buckets, because I want to make sure whether this is true or not.
You don't think she's diabetic?
No, sir, I do not.
1-800-449-8686. We're talking with Robert Green, who does not allow his employees to eat a hot lunch in the lunchroom. He doesn't like them bringing in Tupperware containers filled with lasagna. He doesn't want them using it at all. He calls it a European-style lunch. He says that it often smells up the workplace, and that in point of fact, it's a way for people to just be lazy and waste time. Let's go over to Jesse here. Jesse, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, this guy's a... idiot.
This is one question I want to ask. Do you work in a place where they have one of these things? Jesse, I'm talking to you.
I work at a restaurant. We have microwaves. We have hot food. I'm a manager there, okay? I let my people eat whatever they want as long as they come back to work on time and they do a good job for me. Good employees deserve a good hot meal if that's what they want.
What shift are we talking about?
Excuse me?
What shift are we talking about?
We're talking about it could be 4 o'clock in the morning when my first person comes
in.
Well,
you know what? I'm talking about lunch. I'm talking about people that work during the day. and lunch is not a hot meal.
No,
no, American lunch is not hot.
Lunch is whatever you want to eat as long as you can get back on time and you do a good job.
And that's my point. These people dawdle over the microwave, they stir it up, they taste it, it's not good enough, it goes back in.
Then you have a time issue, you don't have a food issue.
No, it's all about the... No, I cut right to the heart of the matter, it's the microwave. They're fooling around with the microwave.
Why do you have it there in the first place?
I said, and I guess the lady wasn't...
Many people are not listening all the way through.
I said it's because they can heat up their coffee, their hot chocolate if they want, or tea. That's it. No more.
All right. Right, Jesse, thank you. 1-800-449-8686. Robert Green is with it.
Look, lunch is a sandwich. It's a wrap.
You're calling it lunch in America is supposed to be cold.
Yeah, you don't bring in your Tupperware with some chili, that your mother-in-law made. Lunch is a slab of bologna on a one-week bread. I'll tell you what I have. I have a wonderful Washington State apple and a power bar. Because I found out, Phil, and thank God I did 6 months ago, I've got high cholesterol. And so what I eat is the power bar and the apple, and then these employees come in with this lasagna that smells like
Well, this is a diet issue with you, then.
No, it is not. It's a time issue. But they also bring the lasagna in to tempt me to get off my diet. There's a lot of stuff going on here. And that's what I want. That's why I want to get in front of a judge.
All right. 1-800-449-8686. Robert Green. He is the CEO of Fraser Foods. They have a lunchroom. I'm sure many of you have lunchrooms. And many of you have a microwave in your lunchroom. And you bring in food sometimes to heat up in there. Mr. Green contends, and his lawyer contends, American lunches are cold lunches, not hot lunches. The Europeans turned their back on us during the Iraq War. That's one reason. Number two is people use this to dawdle. Number three, it stinks. And number four, it's tempting to him because he's on a diet. Now, he is accused of having taken a woman who is diabetic, taken her lunch, and thrown it down the sink when she was heating it up. Now, diabetics need a specific kind of food. That needs to be said. It has to be low in sugar, etc. So to do that could be potentially very, very harmful. 1-800-449-8686. We'll be right back with Mr. Robert Green on The Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. The Whore.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
All right, we have Robert Green, who is the CEO of Fraser Food. He's an employer who is in a battle right now with an employee for having thrown out her hot prepared lunch. You don't want anybody making hot lunches in the microwave in the lunchroom. You've said it's because, one of the things you said is because you think that it is a European-style lunch. And I don't quite get that. What's wrong with that?
What we feel is wrong with it, Mr. Henry, is that a hot lunch bespeaks a level of weakness. If you have to have a hot lunch, you know, you want to ask, what's your problem? Because you get a hot dinner, you have a hot breakfast, and the hot lunch is a reminder of these sickly kids and the way have to have their hot soup. We're Americans. We eat sandwiches. We get on with it. And this hot lunch thing, the other problem, though, Phil, that I mentioned to the producer and that I mentioned to other media, when people bring lunch to work in the microwave, they're all looking at each other's lunch. Oh, what do you have? You have lasagna. Oh, look at you. You have, you've got baked beans or some. And I stand at the door, and I've got a line at a checkout stand while I got two checkers standing there looking at each other's stew. And I can tell you, it has caused at least two episodes of heart palpitation for me. And I was also put on two forms of beta blockers because I walked into a lunchroom one day and there was a guy, a man, 6'5" and one of my stock guys, microwaving a beef stroganoff like he was some kind of a weakling and a sissy. So,
all right, so you think hot lunch is sissy?
I wouldn't,
isn't that a juvenile term?
I wouldn't call it sissy. It's just hot lunches for weak people.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Breanne, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hi, ma'am. Just wanted to make a comment that people with diabetes are not putting on a hoax. Diabetes is becoming a national epidemic. I am a diabetic right now, and the fact that I do have to put insulin in, sometimes it took a long time for me to get the courage to even do the shots myself. And for him to say that he thinks it's a hoax, it's not.
Well, what is ridiculous.
What's
with the needle? You have to understand that as an employer, a red flag goes up when one of my employees takes a break to go to the bathroom and shoot up.
Okay, it's not shooting up. It's injecting insulin. It's something your body needs, or it can't function, and you will die.
But you understand what I'm saying. When an employee goes into the bathroom and goes into a stall...
The fact that an employer is that naive to not realize that someone has to take insulin...
Well, that's a good... Yeah, that's a great point, Brianna. An employer should know health and human resources should understand...
Mr. Henry, I pay my insurance and my employees are well taken care of. But don't you think, and I'd ask this young lady, that this is a perfect cover for some guy that wants to get hopped up?
No, not at all, because I'm sorry... for where I have to inject my needle, can tell someone who is a needle user they have track marks on their body. My injections go into my thighs, they go into my stomach. You will be able to see someone who is a needle user. I'm sorry,
I'm also
an overweight person who has to take insulin. Have you ever seen someone who's been hopped up on drugs?
Okay, here we go. That's your excuse for heating up 2 pounds of stroganoff. Is that it? Because you're diabetic?
Sir, did you hear, Mr. Green, with all due respect, the lady is diabetic, and that can cause some form of obesity.
She's overweight, which, and she says she's diabetic to cover up for the fact that she's bringing in pot-roasted mashed potatoes and everything into work.
Okay, sir, also, who do you think the country was founded by? That's right, Europeans.
What, fat people?
Who eat hot lunch. And you know what? What do you think your forefathers ate? They ate hot lunch. They didn't always have sandwiches and bread.
Ma'am, I don't know that that's true. I think our forefathers, hot lunch, they shot a beaver down by a creek and ate it raw. That's what they did.
No, they didn't.
Well, ma'am,
I don't know that we can argue whether our forefathers ate a hot lunch. Excuse me, but you're saying that hot lunch is European.
It is decidedly European. I was in the army in Germany, and every day it was this sauerbraten this and something else. It was always hot. I'd say, where can a man go and get a decent bologna sandwich? And I just want to get on with my life, and I don't want to sit down with you and look at your steaming bowl of potatoes. So,
Mr. Green, is there any point in arguing this diabetic? I've got a lady on the line here who's diabetic. You think that...
I don't doubt that this lady's diabetic.
All right. But you're saying that she's using her obesity as an excuse that she could eat mashed potatoes.
Not this lady. I think some people claim that. That's all. And forgive me, Brianna.
So what about your skinny employees who feel the need that, they're hungry and they want to eat a nice, good, healthy meal for lunch?
What do you mean?
A sandwich is not always healthy.
What do you mean our forefathers ate hot lunch? I don't understand. Our forefathers did not bring some slop in a plastic bowl that smells like cooked pet.
No, they took at least a half hour every day out of their lives to stop and eat.
Yes, ma'am.
Go back to their homes where their wives cooked them a meal.
Sandwiches.
Sit down.
Sandwiches and salad. Sandwiches and salad.
Well, we don't know that.
They didn't even have lettuce back then.
The chicken Kiev.
They didn't use lettuce.
Chicken Kiev and corn on the cob is for dinner. It's not for my workplace.
All right, Brianna, I think you made a very good point, and thank you for bringing up the diabetic angle,
too.
Thank you. 1-800-449.
Mr. Henry, my point is eat, yes. Shoot up horse. Use this as an excuse to be somebody's smack mule in my grocery store? No, sir. No, sir.
Mr. Green, you're using terms like smack mule and horse. Diabetics. Smack mule is somebody that's ferrying drugs in.
I know what it means. And I can tell you, Mr. Henry, in response to...
Are you suspecting your employees of bringing drugs in for other people?
I will tell you this. The young lady said she's diabetic and she shoots between her toes. I got a brother-in-law who is now on his 5th methadone program. That's what this clown used to do. Between the toes, in the back of the hand, all the tricks. So I need to know as an employer, if you're a diabetic, then you better prove it some way other than going into the bathroom and needling up and strapping up and needling up on my time.
1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show will be right back.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Making pot brownies. The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Hot lunches. Are they American, and should you be allowed to bring some Tupperware food in from your home and heat it up in a microwave at work? They have microwaves at work, and many places allow people to have a hot lunch, a lunch that they brought from home. Mr. Robert Green is with Fraser Foods. They do not allow it at Fraser Foods. A young lady, a diabetic, came in with some food that she was attempting to heat up. Diabetics have a very specific diet. He took it out of the microwave and threw it in the sink. And I am also led to believe that you do surprise visits on the lunchroom. Is that correct?
I do surprise visits on the lunchroom, Mr. Henry, when I suspect people are violating the policy of bringing in one of these European-style hot lunches using the microwave when I said that they couldn't. All right? And what I do is I will emphasize the rule. I will take the food out of the microwave. I will...
You take it right out.
Yes, I will. We have our lunchroom is three floors above the parking lot, and that is the public parking lot. I would tell you something right now. If you insist on breaking the rule, I take food and I throw it out that window right onto the parking lot where customers are coming in. So they see food splattered everywhere, and I say to the employee, that's you that's being humiliated right now.
I got to tell you something, Mr. Green. If I'm shopping at your store and I walk to the front door and I see food flying out of a fifth floor window...
Well, you know, you find it amusing.
I don't mean to laugh.
You find it amusing, but the wasted time on somebody standing over their beef stroganoff or their cup of noodles that they brought from home, you know, to my way of thinking, now that is...
I heard a bell or something.
That's a microwave bell. When I hear that, I know someone is trying to stick a gun in my ribs and rob me. Okay, I'm going to find out.
Well, you're in a restaurant right now.
That's correct. It probably came from the kitchen.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Lisa, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hello?
Yes, ma'am. Go right ahead.
Do you pay your employers while they're eating lunch, or is that their... not paid?
My employees?
Yes.
Well, they're allowed a lunch break.
Okay. Do you pay them for that lunch break?
Why would I want to pay them for sitting there and shoveling food? I don't understand.
Then if you're not paying them, they should be able to eat whatever they want to eat during that lunch break if
so
you're not paying them.
But it's my lunchroom.
Then are they allowed to leave the area?
No, they're not.
They're not getting paid. They should be able to.
Well, they've got
to
be ready to get on the cash register, especially during the summertime when we do have the big crowds. We have to open up registers all the time. I don't allow them to leave the premises at all.
If they're not getting paid,
Wait a minute. I want to understand something. If I'm an employee, I take my apron off. And
you go directly to the lunchroom. See, that's a microwave bell. And I would ask that not... I don't know who's doing that. but it makes me angry.
Well, if you're not paying them during their time off, then they should be able to do whatever. That's my point.
Well, ma'am, first of all, they got to get to the register. So where am I going to find them? I got to go across the street to Burger King and get them out of there?
They're out of there. However long you get them, a half hour or an hour, they should be able to be wherever they want to be.
How long is the lunch break?
It depends.
Well, what do you mean it depends? If I work for you, do I get an hour?
You could get an hour on some days. It depends on what I decided. People will come in and say, today you get 5 minutes for lunch. It's very busy. Tomorrow you don't get any lunch. Today, you know, 2 hours. But the one thing you'll never do is bring a Tupperware with some slop that you think is smelling good. And I can smell it all the way down to the front of the store.
Well, I think your power bars and apples taste like not very good either.
Ma'am, I'm not making you eat them, and you can't smell them.
Okay, not making you eat their food, and they should be able to walk off premise and eat whatever they want to eat.
They're making me smell whatever that goat stew is they're eating or whatever. I got a lot of, and I say this with the kindest of respect, I've got a lot of Middle Eastern employees because we're in a highly Arab neighborhood where I work.
You sound prejudiced to me, is what you sound.
No, ma'am, I am not. But why do they get to bring in this Arab stuff that they eat?
Why did you get to bring in an apple and a power bar?
Because I'm an American, and that's what Americans eat.
Wait a minute. This lady just made a good point. Who cares if they bring in their Arab food?
Because the Arabs, and the God bless them, they're hardworking people, but they eat food. When you smell it, you want to die. You want to commit some kind of a suicide. Now, I'm not kidding you. And it's goat, and it's every kind of animal that they find. I won't have it.
It does sound prejudiced to me. Thank you very much, Lisa.
Well, sir, I don't appreciate the accusation.
Well, you're saying you don't like the Arab employees bringing this stuff in. 1-800-449-8686. Denise, go ahead.
My point is also is Lisa's half an hour break. You have no right to tell them what they may eat, drink, or otherwise. Coffee's European. Tea is European. Then, if you don't want people using your microwave, get rid of your microwave.
The fact is, the microwave is there, and my rules are the rules are the rules. I don't know what to tell you.
All right, well, the lady is
you're
diabetic.
Tons of unemployment for your attitude when people quit on you, and you're going to lose your
You can't collect unemployment when you quit. So next question.
Well, if they have good reason to, and you're a raving lunatic.
They
don't
have
know
good
who would work for you.
No good reason for quitting.
I don't know who would work for you.
Why? I pay very well. We have one of the highest grocery store sales ever.
And I worked for 15 years in a multi-million dollar fast food business where we sat down and ate only when we had to, but we were allowed to eat whatever we wanted to.
Well, only when you could, though. See, they wouldn't just
give
you an hour-long deal, right?
And we could eat whatever we wanted to.
Well, where would you work for, if you don't mind me asking?
I worked for a very well-known food chain in Buffalo, New York for 15 years, and I was a manager.
Well, what was the name of it?
I'd rather not say.
She doesn't want to say because I think I know, and their food was horrible. And I could, no wonder you, well, why didn't you eat there then? Why'd you step out and eat someplace
else? I worked there. I worked there for 15 years. I was also a manager for 15 years.
Why didn't
you
eat there? We've got a wonderful deli. We got a special on beef tongue. Why don't they eat down there, my employees? No, they don't want to.
And your power bars, I mean, bologna's full of high fat. Power bars?
That's a solid American lunch. That's a solid American lunch.
Well, you're prejudiced.
Why am I prejudiced?
And you're going to lose in court. You're going to be hung to dry.
What do you eat for lunch? Let me
guess. Whatever I want to eat.
Mashed potatoes and big, thick Polish sausage.
I just might.
Yeah, you know what?
You're prejudiced.
You work for me, I'll take that and I'll throw it across the
street. I would never work for you. And you know what? You'd be wearing
you
it if you took it away and you threw it.
In other words, you're going to attack me,
you're attacking people.
You got a thing for Italian sausage, and so you're going to hit me with it.
Yeah, you bet I do.
Yeah, I'll bet you do. I'll bet you think about it all day long.
And you'd be wearing it, and I'm surprised you even have three kids. Your wife probably couldn't. She probably had to lay there and stay still while conceiving.
Get a load of you.
Drink.
Yeah, and how can any man? How did your husband stand making love to you? How did he put a nose? I bet you put a clothes peg on his nose. Yeah, double rubbers his.
Okay.
Three times a night. Are you awake for it? Probably not. You know something? I don't like women laughing at me. That's another thing. I've got checkers that are females, and they laugh at me, and I get angry about it.
Oh, gee. God forbid you should get angry. God forbid you should get angry. You'd be wearing that food if you put it in the sink.
Tell you what.
You'd be wearing it.
I tell you what. If your husband ever can get into the same bed with you after you eat your mashed potatoes and beef stroganoff for lunch, you give me a call. God.
Yep. And I'll be lifting it off, too.
All right. Thanks. 1-800-449-8.
That's an example, though, Mr. Henry, of employees who laugh at an employer. They laugh at me. Now, if they bring that slop into my business again, I take it. And
the lady said you'd be. She said you'd be wearing it.
Oh yeah. Well, then she's fired.
Well, you fire her, then you do have to pay unemployment.
No, I do not, because I had good cause to fire her, because she assaulted me by throwing it, and she's going to throw that in my face. And what if I get infected by the crap she eats?
Well, I don't know, sir, but I do know that you came across rather prejudiced with that Arab food.
Mr. Henry, the Arab people are wonderful, wonderful people. Other than the ones. And I think you know who I'm referring to. The only problem I have with them is this stuff they bring in Tupperware for lunch. It smells like they caught something out of a camel's ass.
All right. I'd ask you to watch your language on my show, sir. I have tried to treat you with respect.
I'm sorry. Forgive me, Mr. Andrew, but I'm a little bit angry. This hophead is suing me.
She's not a hophead. She's a diabetic. Just because she uses a needle doesn't mean she's... Here is Shirley. Go ahead, Shirley. Shirley?
Yes.
Go ahead, ma'am. You're on the air.
All right. Excuse me, but you know, you have this problem with people in microwaves?
No, I do not, ma'am.
Yeah, you do.
No, I don't
have any problem. How do you eat your food? Do you eat all bologna sandwiches and salads 24/7?
I eat hot food at dinner and lunch and breakfast, and I eat a cold lunch, which is the way Americans do it.
Who's American? Who's American?
Let me tell you what,
I'm American. My family's been here for 189 years.
Well, it's not as long as my family.
And we all ate bologna sandwiches.
You eat bologna sandwiches, yeah. That's what I'm saying. That's American.
We ate them. We don't eat them.
You ate
real food. okay?
Oh, wait a second. What do you call real food?
Real food. Something
like
good for you. Not a damn piece of meat or two pieces of bread.
So there you go. At lunch, you haul in 3 grocery bags of slop that I got to cook for you, and then you go to, you waddle down to the checkout stand? No.
Oh, well, why not? You know, I bet when Corford hears this phone call, you may not have a job tomorrow.
Ma'am, I happen to be one of the...
You happen to be one of them, huh?
I happen to be a
You happen
CEO
to be one of them. No, that's what you started to say. I don't think so.
Let me tell you something, ma'am. I got these hopheads who call themselves diabetics coming into my
place. Yeah, well, I have
business.
A daughter-in-law that's a diabetic, and I know you don't play around with
Here
people
we go
that are
again,
like that.
Well, you know something, lady? You know what? I don't believe you.
Oh, you don't believe me? How about you meet me somewhere and I'll prove it to you?
What are you going to do? I'm a guy.
No, I didn't say what was I going to do.
Well, you're going to bring your husband? Is that it?
I don't need a husband.
Wait a second.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Shirley, you're an American. You're a half-breed of some kind. Every American eats
bologna. I'm a half-breed?
Yeah, you're a half-breed.
I'll show you half-breed.
Yeah, I bet you
will. I'll show you half-breed.
Thanks for calling, Miss Whirlpool Appliance.
Oh, you wish, honey.
You know something? I have an employee that I caught shooting up some of this stuff. And he says, I'm a diabetic. How do I know it's not smack?
You have employee applications? Why don't you try looking on them?
What's an employee? What do you mean?
Don't half the applications say, do you have medical problems?
Yes, they do.
Why don't you try looking at them?
I don't look at those. Why should I look at those?
Oh, you just because find out of the blue, and
right.
if they say they're a diabetic, you don't believe them,
because
right?
you find out if they're diabetic or not. You're not going to be just firing them because they're a hophead.
That is a middle management problem. That's not mine. And if somebody says I need to go to the bathroom,
remember, you're part of there with corporate.
You know,
remember?
So your daughter's a diabetic. Prove it.
Oh, I can prove it.
How do you prove it?
I can prove it. I can bring her back to your house with her needles.
How would you like that? So she can shoot up there at my
house?
That's
right. So she can shoot up all her insulin right in front of you. Would you like that?
You know, man.
Would that make you feel good?
You and your
half-breed... Would that make
you
think twice about the lady's food you threw away?
You and your half-breed husband and your horse...
Oh, you know what? I ain't even married.
A nice
so what
bologna
the hell
sandwich.
You got to say about that?
Well, I should have known that. You got a kid. You're not married. I should have known that. Yeah. She's got a kid, but she ain't married.
Hold on.
Next time you...
Okay, whoa. Did we get the 7-second on her? All right, well, the daughter came on and used HS...
Mr. Henry, I'm going to tell you something right now.
Hold on, Mr. Green.
No, you hold on. She called me an MF. She called me a fat HS-eating MF. And then she said, and that was the half-breed daughter.
Why do you call them half-breed? Because they've been in America only 189 years?
My family came over here in 1900 and... Well, all right, so it was 1903, so that's 100 years.
Right, so their family's been here longer.
All right.
All right, I got to take a break.
I just want you to know that if you're diabetic and you come to work for Fraser Foods, prove it.
Put it on the application, and if, Mr. Green, you are beholden to read those applications. People with diabetes have a severe physical problem, and just because they're using a needle on the job doesn't mean they're shooting horse. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. We eat kittens. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Phil Hendry Show, it's time to... By the way, that was me doing the voice of Bob Green. Everybody who called was a unwitting but a lovely participant, non-paid, non-prodded or prompted. Now, walk down memory lane, and this is a letter from Madeline M. She says, Phil, I'm your most dedicated female 14-year-old fan. I love all of your characters, but particularly Jay Santos, the Dooleys, Margaret Gray, and, of course, Chris Norton. I love how Jay is into biting people on the fat part of their arm, and Margaret singing 1-2 and 1-2-3. She wants to hear Chris Norton dancing Sessy for their wives, teaching men how to dance Sessy for their wives, which included attaching bacon strips to his nipples. Anyway, here you go, Madeline. Chris Norton, Walk Down Memory Lane.
Okay, here we go.
I am too sexy for my love.
Okay, 2-3 for my love.
1-2-3 for
now I bend over, I grab
hold it. I hold it. I hold it. I'm swinging my butthocks back and forth. Now I leap up. Now I'm doing jumping jacks. By the way, kill the music, Lance. Kill the music, Lance. I want to let everybody know these moves are copyrighted so that no one can steal them. Okay, are we on the air?
Yes, we're on the air. You, all right, so in other words...
Yeah, these moves are copyrighted.
You copyrighted these dance moves?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
Okay, 2, 3.
I'm too sexy for my love. Too sexy for my love.
2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8, 10. Okay, now I bend over, grab my ankles, and now I'm doing jumping jacks, jumping jacks. 2, 3, 4. Now I do a leapfrog over a chair. Now I whip out a copy of the Harlequin Romance that women love to read. And now, boom, I got this clenched between my butt cheeks. And I'm holding the book between my butt cheeks.
But
I kind of hold that move for a while. Now here is something that is completely copyrighted, so people won't steal it. Hold, kill the music for a minute, Lance. Kill it. Okay.
Will you come on, man, all right?
What?
I got it, all right? So you're going to turn the pages of the book with your ass. Is that it?
I am too sexy.
Okay, here we go.
My love.
Jeez.
Sexy for my love.
2, 3, 4. Okay, here we go. All right, now I bend over and I got...
Forget bending over. I got all of that and I got the jumping jacks. Get to the part where you put the book between the cheeks of your rear end.
Okay. 2, 3, 4. Now the book is between the buttocks cheeks. And page turn, page turn, page turn.
I don't know how you're doing that, man. That's out.
Well, believe me, it takes a lot of... Okay, now I do stretches. I'm grabbing my ankle, I'm holding it. And as simple as that is, it's sexy. Now I'm up on my toes. I'm eating a peach, which is very suggestive, and I let the juice drip down. As crazy as this sounds, a lot of women like this next move, the hula hoop move. Here I go.
Okay.
Then I have two major grand final moves. Here comes the first one.
You know,
now I'm spanking myself with a hairbrush.
My little turn on the catwalk.
Now I'm slapping myself with a belt.
On the catwalk.
Okay, here comes the next move. 2, 3, 4. Ow. All right, I just did the splits over an egg and I broke it open. 2, 3. Now I'm attaching bacon strips to my nipples with clothes pegs. And now I'll do a somersault over an open watermelon. Now I pretend, this is a move a lot of women like, I'm pretending I'm a dog peeing on a fire hydrant and I'm...
Okay.
Well, what, you did that?
That's fine, turn your...
Lance, turn it off. What? What?
I pretend I'm a dog peeing on a fire hydrant.
These are all copyrighted moves, okay?
Well, the cats are going to steal those.
But you don't let me slap the side of my hips like Tracy Partridge playing the tambourine. So I do this woo, woo, you know?
Uh-huh.
And the other thing that I do, a lot of the women out there... Oh, here it is. Yeah, I'm having a somersault into an open watermelon.
Forget about it, man.
Now, Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Well, the news comes spilling out today that perhaps it was consensual, but she didn't say you could go there. I like it there, but not there. And Kobe said, maybe I'm just going to go ahead and do it anyway. And now, and of course, sports radio is falling all over itself, trying to find a way, a desperate way, to still protect Kobe Bryant. Is there a way? Is there a way they can still get invited to his house to barbecues and still be his pal and still report this? Well, of course, there isn't. Not if you work for a sports talk show. You have to either be sniffing Kobe's jockstrap or you just get out of the business. There's no way that you are ever going to admit that the possibility Kobe Bryant raped this girl exists. And by the way, just so I can get this out of the way, if there is anybody within the sound of my voice that has any contact with the young lady that is alleged to have been raped by Mr. Bryant, this is one talk show that actually believes it's a possibility and we would like to hear from her or at least to hear from you at some point. Kobe Bryant is not going to get to skip any hearing next week. Kobe Bryant allegedly gave inconsistent stories to the Eagle County authorities. Kobe Bryant allegedly ignored this woman's pleas not to have this sex that he wanted to have, this intercourse. And forgive me, you know, this radio show, I want to mention this. My show is for adults. And I played a flashback by request of a 14-year-old girl who I know there's kids that listen to this show. And how do I say this? I'd really, you'd rather not. I just really that you rather would. That I appreciate very much. I have a childlike heart, and that's why you know, relate to me. My kids dig me. They like my sense of humor. But sometimes we get into really adult stuff. And I know that you probably don't have any adult in your life who's going to tell you this, so let me say this to you directly. I'm the father of four kids, and if you're under the age of 18, I'd really rather you not listen to my show. And you want to know why? Because I still want you to be a kid. I want you to be a kid. There's a lot of adults don't want you to be a kid. I want you to stay a kid. You don't have to hear about this stuff. This is crap. This is stuff that will hopefully never intrude on your life. This is an adult gone wrong. These are adults out of their minds. This is the nightmare that many children have because they live in homes with people like this. So this guy, you know, just turn the radio off. I'll give you 30 seconds to get out of here. Now get out of here. Go to bed. Go play some whatever you're playing. Go play some Myth on the computer. That's healthy. Go on. Get. As they say in the West movies. Get. Go on. I mean, here we are talking about Kobe Bryant allegedly raping this woman. And then, of course, there was talk about postponing this trial for the season. Let me explain something and try to be as clear as I can and try to be as definite as I can and try to get this to the people in the know in the NBA. The armor is beginning to fall apart. Do you understand that? Do you sense it? Do you people in football and basketball and hockey and baseball, do you sense that there's a chink in your armor that's beginning to fall apart? Do you sense that the new millennium has begun, that we're looking at the vast horizon of a new century, and you guys are not going to have that much of a part of it? Your day of being something that was held high as if Greek gods, as if great military heroes, as if you guys were on a par with people that really do important things, those days are over. Those days are rapidly beginning to recede in your rearview mirror. And what has happened to Kobe Bryant, this isn't the end. This is just the beginning. This is the beginning of sports fans taking back a little bit of their sanity and taking back the realization that while we enjoy watching basketball, it is so trivial and so insignificant in the overall scheme of life that your athletes had better toe the line and behave like human beings, or you're going to have them ripped like they've never been ripped before. They're going to be ripped apart. They're bleeding carcasses in the street. Nobody gets a pass anymore. And there's a lot of sports fans that are still, as I say, hanging on to the lamppost. They don't want to cry. There's a lot of sports fans that are still hoping Kobe this and hoping Kobe that. And they couldn't give two craps about a woman who might have been raped. Might have been. But you got to understand something. This is the campaign that we've been on, and people are now starting to get, they're starting to wake up to it a little bit. Because we just don't have Kobe Bryant. We've got slobs like Warren Sapp with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who I just found out today, Warren Sapp, when it comes to the media, is an abject coward. He's like a little girl. He's so scared of an open microphone that he craps himself. Warren Sapp! You know how big that game is? Supposedly he's a badass? This is a guy who's so unbelievably stupid. And when I say stupid, I mean it. Tell me this guy isn't stupid. He has illegitimate children all over the country. Some of them he don't even know he's got. Women have got to go after him and take him to court to get him to pay child support. Now, is that dumb or is that dumb? I could say that is morally corrupt, but I don't think the guy is. He's probably not such a bad guy so much as he's just an idiot. These are the kinds of people that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Michael Pittman's another, these are the kinds of people that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers gladly release into society to prey upon you and me. When they're not playing their football game, which we're all supposed to be so grateful for, we're just so grateful that they allowed us to build them a stadium. You see what I'm talking about? Do you understand, folks, what's at stake here? Do you know the schmucks that we've been? Do you know what we've been played for? We've been played like a freaking Stradivarius from the gate. Oh, thank you. Thank you for playing football in my town, and it only cost me almost $750 million. thank you for playing hockey in my town, and it only costs the tourists to come here, you know, it only jacked the, you know, the tax on their hotel bill or their restaurant bill or something like that. And, oh, yeah, the kids are going to school in temporary classrooms, but we don't, I mean, that, you can't, it's there's no comparison, is there? Can you imagine if people had as much interest? I mean, if you could take the energy that the average sports fan puts into the adulation that he has, the almost homoerotic adulation that he has for athletes, if you put that energy into building classrooms, hiring teachers, and getting kids educated, this place would be, we'd be set, man. We'd be set. We'd have geniuses coming out every 4 years out of high school, and they'd be smart enough to figure out how we can build football stadiums without having to, you know, without having to stick a gun in people's ribs. Because right now, that's what's happening to you. And they're going to postpone the trial so the NBA season can be played? Let me tell you something. If they do that, somebody ought to get recalled, fired, canned. I don't know what you call it, man. They got to get the guy off the bench, get him into the bench, get him under the bench. So, you know, that was what they were talking about. Now, obviously, they're not going to do that. Some sane mind has to take charge here. If Bryant misses the season, that's tough crap. Yeah, I'm a basketball fan, but I'm sick and tired of this. You know what? We're just going to let certain things kind of take a backseat because, after all, we got a basketball season to play. I don't care. Lakers can go, the Lakers can disband and go back to Minneapolis for all I care if that's the kind of crap they're going to start pulling. And they better not. And I understand Phil Jackson's running around looking for a TV show now. What's he going to do? Coach? He's going to do a coaching TV show. That's what we need. There you go. Nice going, Phil. We need another show to coach. We need to somehow get even better basketball players. That's what we need. We need that desperately. We'll get a coaching show on the air so Jackson can stand there and he can just give more coaching tips because the basketball is just ain't good enough. We got to get a little, forget math, forget science, forget, you know, forget anything like that. Just get the basketball better. Never mind a half those clowns that are playing that game couldn't read C-spot run if you put a loaded shotgun to their head. If they were that poor Dennehy guy there out in the swamp with a gun pointed at him. Sure about that guy? Allegedly the guy that shot him is hearing voices and they're, well, he might be crazy. Oh, okay. It's disgusting. It gets more, with every day this Kobe Bryant case gets more disgusting. And for people who've got a little bit of vision, like myself, and many of you, for those of us who have seen this coming for years, for those of us who are finally putting our foot down and saying that the armor of pro sports is beginning to rust and it's beginning to fall off, the gladiator on the pedestal of the 20th century, well, he's coming down, man, just like that Saddam Hussein statue. That's what's coming down. Tommy Trojan, baby, we're going to pull that down just like that Saddam statue. Because we're sick and tired of devoting energy, time, trouble, the hope and the prayers and the love of our children, putting on basketball jerseys that say Bryant or Sap or some other sap on the back. We're tired of that crap. You're not going to do it anymore. You're not going to con us anymore. And we're not going to thank you for building a multi-billion dollar ballpark while our kids are eating slop and learning out of books that are 15, 20 years old. You got to be putting me on. I know Americans are stupid, but man, we, you know, when the time comes, we can pull it together. We're a pretty good people when the push is on and when the pressure's on. We can really get it together. I realize we act like the biggest meatheads the world has ever known sometimes. But, you know, just every now and again, we can kind of add two and two and go, yeah, Bob Hope is dead. I thought it was just a joke, you know. By the way, our email address, phs@philhenryshow.com, phs@philhenryshow.com. I want to tell you, we were going to have a guy on today who was a Pee-wee football coach in Chicago, and he's the son of a man who got banned from the Pee-wee League because he pushed a referee, and they banned him from the league and convicted him of assault, and he said, if I'd had my wits about me, I would have beaten the guy into the ground up one side and down the next. And we were going to have this guy on, and we were going to rip him. I thought, that's not what I'm about. I'm not about taking some poor, small weakling of a peewee football coach and beating him up. He's an idiot, yeah. He's an idiot that takes after the idiots that he sees on TV. Now, that's been done. I want to get the Kobe's on here. I want to get the Warren Sapps on here. I want to get the Pittmans on here. I want to get these criminals, these rapscallions, these reprobates, these nefarious characters, these dirtbags that have been operating with full freedom and autonomy for too long. I want to get them on here and talk to them a little bit about their manhood. So far, we've been unsuccessful. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers told us that they're getting ready for Japan, whatever the hell that means. They're playing a game in Japan. You know, exhibition football? You know how great that is, don't you? You love that, huh? And only, like, how much is it now? $50 a game? God, you can pay to go see that, huh? So, they're too busy right now. And, of course, the Pittsburgh Pirates, one of professional baseball's biggest failures, one of the most sad stories in baseball, the Pittsburgh Pirates. That punk that hit that woman, they swept that right under the rug, baby. They don't want to, no, you know, it's okay, it's fine. All the fans gathered around. The Lakers, the same thing. How about if we get that Phil Jackson on here so he can talk to us? But, you know, he seems like an intelligent guy. I wouldn't want to tell you. The first thing I'd have to ask him, what's a smart guy like you doing coaching basketball? Why don't you get out and do something real for a living? I know. Why don't you be Jeannie Buss's gardener? Oh, you mean he already is? All right, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. By the way, our email address, phs@philhenryshow.com, phs@philhenryshow.com, and we'll be right back.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Here's a story again, and in case that lunatic woman that called me about 2 weeks ago wants to call back in and start screeching like an Irish banshee, here's the stuff. So, you know, lady, this is like two stories. The Miami Heat are now out behind this. Here's something that the Miami Heat and NBA team, this is something they're doing that is actually worthwhile. They're going down into the neighborhoods in Miami, and they're talking to the kids about learning how to swim. And I'm talking specifically African-American children ages 5 to 14 who have a drowning death rate that is nearly three times higher than white children. That, according to the Orange County, California Health Services. According to the Wire Service story that we quoted from last week, African-American boys between the ages of 6 and 19 are 12 to 15 times more likely than white boys in that age group to drown in swimming pools, according to a national study. Now, why is that? In case that nutcase wants to call, because she said I was a racist. I was the next best thing to George Lincoln Rockwell, and I was just a skinhead freak. It's not because black folks I got too much bone mass, okay? That's not what I'm saying. It's because the children are not being taught how to swim. And why aren't they being taught how to swim? Because black parents traditionally view swimming as a sport, not a survival skill. Why do they traditionally view that as a sport? Because they have traditionally seen white athletes engaging in it as a sport, which it is, but they are not as aware of it as a survival skill as white parents. Now, that's the facts, Jack. I didn't make it up. Now, that is a quoting from the American Nazi Party. I'm joking. 1-800-449-8686. Giselle, hi.
Hi, Phil.
How are you,
ma'am?
I love
your show.
Thank you.
On the Kobe Bryant situation, I agree with you. It's totally our fault that he is built up so high. And we can't look past these groupie chicks who just go to bed with them. And I'm not saying that she didn't get raped, but there's a lot of them who just go and sleep with them and then, you know, just set them up. But it's our fault. If they're just regular people who can play basketball or football, and they're just regular people, we shouldn't build them up so high. The higher they are, the harder they fall.
Well, I mean, and let's start, but, you know, one of the things we can start doing is we can put a halt to this stadium building.
Yes.
Let's just put a halt to that.
They were going to put a stadium down here in Miami for I don't know what, and it got turned down.
Well, wait a minute. Didn't they build a hockey arena for the hockey team?
Yeah, this was going to be a baseball Marlins thing. Nobody even goes to the games anymore.
You got to be kidding. Yeah, no wonder they turned that down. The Marlins, nobody wants to see baseball in Miami because, first of all, baseball this time of year is horrific. It's a horrific experience. It's pouring down rain down there, right?
Yeah, it is.
Football, on the other hand, it's a beautiful weather in the wintertime. You want to go out and see the Dolphins. It's gorgeous. And hockey, who cares?
And for the kids who are drowning, anybody who has a kid here in Florida who can't swim is irresponsible. There's so much water, you can teach them how to swim anywhere.
Yeah, well, guess what? Florida's third in the nation in kids drowning. Third.
Oh, well.
Third in the nation. They're just drowning left and right. Just look out your window. There might be a kid floating by.
Oh, jeez.
All right, Giselle, thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, bye. You guys down in Miami, on any given day, just look out your window, and there's a kid just bloop, bloop, just floating on by. Drowning left and right. The parents don't care. What do you think, the parents are going to care? Just another dead kid. Here is Bill. Hello, Bill.
Hello.
How are you, sir?
Pretty good, thanks.
Good.
I was calling in about the topic you were mentioning earlier about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Warren Sapp.
Yeah.
And I'm actually calling from Tampa. You know, it's funny about all these people. You have to admit, in national sports, there are some class acts that these people actually are intelligent, they're talented, and when they retire from the sport, they actually come up make something of themselves.
I don't know who that would be.
Well, there have been very few.
Name one.
I don't know. There are actually a couple of guys on the Buccaneers that are very intelligent and very decent human beings.
You know, I'll take your word for it, Bill, because you sound like a nice guy, but I wouldn't know that.
Well, wasn't my point. My point was that about Warren Sapp, for example. Now, this guy, I don't know how he ever, got where he is, but if it wasn't for football,
he got where he is.
I don't know whether this guy
Bill, he got where he is because people love football and they want to see football players do well, no matter what kind of criminal or menace or imbecile that they are.
True, and this guy has a reputation.
Are you a Bucs fan?
Yes, I'm a Bucs fan to a certain extent.
Can I ask you something? Because I'm not familiar. How'd they build that Raymond James Stadium? Was that with the tourist tax? You know?
It actually was through taxes. I'm not sure exactly what taxes, but it was through taxes.
There you go.
And that was
a big
sore spot.
Yeah, and guess what you get to finance? A guy that's having children all over the country, other slob that is running his car into his wife's, and then an entire Tampa Bay Buccaneer organization that releases these imbeciles out into society because what do they care what mayhem they create so long as they play football real good? And that's what you got. That's what you got for your tax dollars for you putting the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in Tampa. Bill, thank you very much for your call. These guys, and I love football. I can't wait for the season to start. Mark and I both have got, we've convinced our wives DirecTV is the way to go. We just beat them into submission, and we got the satellite dish. I can't wait to see the games. It's after the game and before the game that I'm talking about. It's when these guys open their mouths about something other than football that it's just like fingernails on a chalkboard to me. Okay? All right. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Dean Wheeler was on a show yesterday. Mr. Wheeler was with a group called the Healing Hands Institute. And he believes that, because Hitler invented the Volkswagen, maybe we shouldn't, maybe we ought to forgive him for a lot of the bad stuff. But a caller called up and just didn't know where he was coming from.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
Mr. Wheeler, I was driving down the road and I just had to pull over because I just don't understand your rationale behind that you could just compensate for everyone's pain with material possession.
Well, I think it goes a long way. Are you driving? What kind of car are you driving? I'm just curious. Is it a cabriolet or anything?
Well, I'm not going to say because I think it's totally absurd and it defeats the purpose of what I'm saying. It's a material possession.
If it's a Volkswagen, though, don't you understand the debt that you owe to
it's not a Volkswagen.
To Hitler? All right. Well, here's what I'm saying.
And are you saying that if you drive a Volkswagen, you owe something to Hitler?
I'm saying that it shows that Hitler had a fun side. He was fun. There were days when he let his hair down and just you know, he'd come home to Eva Braun or whoever he was living with and go, let's take it a movie.
So if I murder you and your family tomorrow, and because I have a fun side, it's okay.
No, what have you done for me? I'll give you an example, Sheila, and this is an extreme example, so please understand. If you were married...
I am married.
All right, let's say you and I make love, and your husband comes in and finds out. Now, he's obviously angry. But if I gave him at that instant, at that very instant that he found you in bed with me, a brand new Corvette, a brand new Chevrolet Corvette, the hate would just leak away, and he would be a friend of mine, and he and I would...
Well, what about Sheila? Would he forgive Sheila?
Okay, excuse me, but I know my husband, and I know you probably would not be alive, because I also know the psychosis of humanity, and I know that the act, well, it is in the act. If at that moment he caught us, you would probably be killed.
But wait a minute. Not if I gave him a Corvette. Not if I immediately held up the keys to a Corvette.
How do you know the inside of my husband's brain? How do you know the inside of everyone's brain?
Because I understand people. And if your husband walked in...
I understand
as, let's
people,
say,
too.
Let's be very graphic, okay? What if it was from behind and I...
You don't have to say that. All right,
but I want to give the idea of the husband being angry. That would make me very angry if I came in. It's one thing.
Okay,
if
let's say that.
Okay.
That's fine.
Okay.
Say that we were
and
having anal intercourse, and
no.
then he comes and in.
Then,
what difference
all right,
does it make?
Please.
And then I say, well, hold on. Here's the keys to a Corvette. Okay.
Well, if it,
okay. Yeah. See,
I
now you're.
Really
yeah,
do
see,
not understand your rationale, but you're making the situation worse.
Now, see, what you're doing is you'll get it. Just, are you going for your GED?
Okay.
Excuse me, I have a bachelor's.
Okay.
I'm telling you, you drive through your town.
I have a bachelor's in biology, and I have a minor in chemistry.
If you drive through your town,
aromatherapy
in a brand new Volkswagen,
is not going to heal the pain in people's minds,
look,
and
if
the
you,
people's spirit.
If you drive through your town in a brand new Volkswagen Golf, people will point and say, now there goes a woman who's big enough, smart enough, and good enough to forgive Adolf Hitler.
You think people are,
all right.
You think actually everyone that drives a Volkswagen knows that Hitler is the one that was behind it?
Oh, I think anyone that drives a Volkswagen is sort of quietly cheering for Hitler, sure.
And I think
people
are ignorant.
Well, you know the Porsche? That was built by Hitler.
And what degree do you have? I would like to know.
My degree is in my degree is in aromatherapy.
Exactly.
Along with social conniption, kinesiology.
You didn't have to go to a four-year university and study.
No, I studied.
Diligently worked for that, did you?
I studied at the Aromatherapy Institute in Fairfield, Iowa. Why?
Yeah,
business
something
is
like
a
massage therapy.
Oh, I see. So you're a big shot, huh?
I did not say I was a big shot.
You know, it's quite interesting that when you start this...
I'm a logical person.
You know, if you were here right now, I would come out of a very tranquil place that I'm in, and I'd want to hit you for the things you've said.
Okay, so now you want to hit, and you're a tranquil...
Yeah, now you
want to
hit.
...person full of forgiveness, and now you're turned all of a sudden to aggression.
Okay, no, what I'm doing now is I'm going through a colon cleanse, so you're not even here.
Okay, why are you going...
Oh, boy, that was good. Yeah, that just aired the whole area out.
All right, you know what? I'm going to let you go, Sheila.
That's
great
because
this guy is.
You are not answering my question.
Look at the impurities flying out of my rear.
Okay.
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
So whatever you do, guys, wherever you go, whatever kind of bad scene you're getting into, always carry the keys to a brand new Corvette with you, and just dangle them there in front of the angry husband and go, "But here are the keys to the Corvette. My Corvette." 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. Later on, we have interesting interview with Robert Green, the CEO of Fraser Foods. Mr. Green is upset with people using a microwave in the lunchroom at his business to heat up stuff they bring in from home. He says that a cold lunch is an American lunch. Hot lunches are what Europeans eat. Here's Nick. Nick, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hey, Phil. Discovered your show a few months ago. I'm a big fan already. I love it.
Thanks.
The comments you were making about the Bucks and Warren Sapp earlier, I definitely agree and share your opinions on professional athletes nowadays. It's pretty ridiculous. But the comment you made about the organization, about the Buccaneers releasing those players on society, I mean, I just don't understand where that comes from. And wouldn't they still probably be doing the same things they're doing? We just wouldn't hear about it if they weren't on the Bucks.
I don't know. I don't know. But I do know that these people are given a salary as well as the encouragement and the enablement to go out and commit their atrocious deeds. So not only are they reprobates as human beings, but they're sort of shielded from what otherwise might be crimes or nefarious deeds that they'd be held accountable for, because they're pro football players, part of a greater organization with a greater mission, and which is enabled by the fans and by the media and by even the politicians at City Hall, that the greater mission is to win the Super Bowl. And who cares if a guy like Warren Sapp, who hypocritically will talk to school children, in the meantime, he can't even pay child support for the 8,000 kids that he's fathered all over the country, or a Michael Pittman, who this man attacked his wife and daughter with a Hummer. I mean, this is unbelievable. This is unbelievable. And the Buccaneers, are they? Do they feel guilty for releasing an animal like this onto society? Do they have the least bit sense of maybe there's something as an organization we should do? This isn't right. No, they don't. They got to go to camp. They got to go to Japan. They got to win an exhibition game against the Jets.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, that's all about the business side of it. You know, football is a business, and it's all about the almighty dollar, and that's the one, their main priority. I mean, I personally think that's where that comes from. I mean, the previous caller...
Well, are you excusing that?
Oh, no, it's inexcusable.
So your initial question to me, then, is why did you ask me the question?
Well, I mean, I wonder what your point of view was on it. I didn't see the view of them being enablers, but I mean, that does sort of make sense by the high salaries they paid, and they enable them to go out in the community and do those things that are, you know, that we would be ostracized for and you know, to punish to the full extent of the law.
Exactly. Like they shield these guys from media interviews. They have security directors who will speak to the police on behalf of the player. They have security that travels with these animals so that they, you know, if they get out of hand, well, then they're quickly hustled onto the team bus or hustled into the hotel. And this is, yeah, they enable it. I mean, the Tampa Bay Buccaneer organization has no answer for this. They have no excuse for it. There isn't a one in their front office or in their coaching staff that would ever even want to approach being questioned about these things because they have no answer. I don't even think they're bright enough to answer the question. I think the only thing those guys know is how to squeeze a dollar out of the taxpayers of Tampa, how to rob them at the concession stand, how to rob them on the playing field when they put a lousy product on the field. And let's not forget, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers put one of the most atrocious products in football on the field for years. Just years. They finally bought themselves a Super Bowl. And for that, we're all supposed to sit down and kiss their rear end and thank the ever-loving God that they're playing football in Tampa Bay. I think you guys ought to get down and thank God the day they leave town. The day they come to L.A., you ought to say good riddance to bad rubbish. Seriously.
Now, that's a problem just with the Buccaneer organization or football in general, because I heard you just talk about
football.
How you got your DirecTV.
Oh, I love football. I love the game of football. Love the game of football. But I understand that its relevance to society is nil. What it contributes to society is next to nothing. It's 3 hours of boredom killing for you and I, Nick. You know, we come home from our job, we want something else to think about, and we sit down and watch football the way we might watch a movie. A good movie. A great movie, in fact. And we can follow, and it's fun. But beyond that, on a Monday or a Tuesday, I got to read about this clown coming out of the locker room and committing some act in society. I got to read about the organization jacking the price on us. I got to read about them sticking a gun to the ribs of taxpayers and holding them up for a stadium. This is when I finally said to myself, people got to wake up and understand that what football, baseball, basketball, or hockey provides is absolutely in no way, shape, or form in proportion to what we are expending to have them in our community. They provide nothing. They give nothing. The meaning is nothing. It's a stupid, silly three-ring circus that we are continually, constantly having a gun stuck to our ribs to pay for. Thank you, Nick, for the call, pal. I appreciate it. I hope that explained my point of view. I know a lot of you guys just tuned in and said, are you on that again, Henry? Well, yeah, the guy asked me, so I had to explain it. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
Phil Hendry,
1-800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
You heard this story about the lady that made a hoax call to these poor people. She said, I'm your long-lost daughter. Did you hear about that? And these people are, oh, my God, my daughter. The daughter's been missing since 1986. She said, well, I'm now a young woman, and they thought that this was it. Turns out it was a hoax. It was this woman named Donna Lynette Walker who's been making up fake voices ever since she was a kid and calling people and conning them out of dough. You know, I've been making up fake voices ever since I was a kid and calling up people and conning them out of dough, but I finally got into radio, and I didn't take the wrong turn that she, or maybe that wasn't such a wrong turn. I bet you she's loaded. Ever since Donna Lynette Walker was a child, friends say she's delighted in disrupting the lives of those around her. She made crank calls and disguised voices, concocted hard luck stories, and conned people out of money. Authorities say that last weekend, Walker called the parents of a girl abducted 17 years ago and pretended to be their long-lost daughter. The girl's family members were crushed, her father reduced to tears, when they learned on Wednesday that it was a lie. Walker, age 35, surrendered on Thursday in Topeka, Kansas, where she is believed to have lived. She has been charged with identity deception and false reporting for committing what police called a cruel hoax. Investigators said Walker may have found out details about the case of Shannon Marie Sherrill on the Internet, which contains several websites devoted to the girl's abduction. Shannon was six when she vanished in 1986 while playing hide-and-seek near the family's Indiana home. Oh, God, what a two-bit bitch to pull a stunt like that. What kind of money do you think you're going to make on this? Good God. Police began to doubt Walker's claims only when she could not provide them with numbers to reach her at. Court records interviews indicate she has had brushes with the law in California, Kansas, Virginia, and Nebraska involving such offenses as making crank calls, reporting a false fire alarm, writing bad checks, making a bomb threat, and using stolen credit cards to run up long-distance charges, according to an Indiana State Police affidavit. Well, that's great that Dr. Laura finally, you know, got into radio, because I'm joking around. In Urbandale, Iowa, an arrest warrant was issued for Walker last August for making a string of weird calls to police reporting to have seen people assaulted at gunpoint. Well, this is a real screwball. What a screwball. Do you realize that somewhere along the line, this woman could have been me? She could have been Phil Hendry. She could have had a radio show doing phony voices and sort of shaking it up with people and make a decent living. But instead, Phil Hendry, he took the right path, and Donna Lynette Walker went down the wrong path. And thus our paths divided and then, you know, crossed and went, you know what I'm saying? The path less taken. Robert Frost, the road less traveled, something like that. Not Frost, Frost. 1-800-449-8686. Other sports news, and then we will get to a phone call here toward the end of the hour. We are actually taking calls for the next 60 minutes on the show. The NFL has a sponsor. It's a new impotence drug. The NFL is going to be co-sponsored by Viagra, and Mike Ditka has been hired to do commercials for another impotence drug called Libitrex. And I'm telling you, there's not going to be a day, not a day in the future when the average male doesn't take this stuff. It's just like the birth control pill. Women take the birth control pill because what concerns them most is pregnancy. Men were never going to take a pill. Why don't men take the pill? Men don't want to take the pill. Men aren't going to take the pill. Men take a pill for the thing that concerns them the most, potency, getting it up. That's what we worry about. We could care less whether there's 9 million kids all over the planet with our name. Warren, just ask our idol, Warren Sapp. As long as Warren's taking his Viagra, he don't care how many kids he's leaving out there. As opposed to the women, they want to take that pill so they don't have any babies, see? And now we've boiled it down here at the beginning of the millennium to what we will take a pill for. The women for keeping from getting pregnant, the men so that they can actually perform for 5 minutes with a woman. Hi, I'm Warren Sapp for Viagra. You know, I've got kids everywhere. Why? Because of Viagra, that's why. If it wasn't for Viagra, I would actually only have children with my wife that I'm married to. But because of Viagra, I have impregnated hundreds of women across the United States with thousands of kids. However, because I am Warren Sapp and they know that I play for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they know where to reach me if they need child support. Thanks, girls. You give me a call if it gets a little tough out there, huh? Here's Mike. Mike, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, Phil, it's a pleasure to be on with you.
Thank you.
I have to say, I think you're probably about the funniest man I've ever listened to. I recently started listening to your show and just love it.
I appreciate it. Thanks.
When I heard that story about the lady who was calling that family, I actually thought it was probably you at first.
Right, yeah, that was me, Donna. Bobby Dooley was arrested by police in Topeka, Kansas.
Phil Henry, this guy, you know, faking your voice. Anyways, a few callers ago, you had somebody, you asked him, you know, any smart NFL players who retired and gone on to do something good, and I actually thought of one. I have to say I agree with you most of the time that they get too much hype and praise, but I think there is one who has done a lot of good since he's retired, and you're probably well aware of him, Steve Young. What do you think about that?
I never heard. What has he done? What's he done?
What has he done?
Yeah.
Well, I know that he was a huge part of the Winter Olympics out here in Salt Lake. He ran a whole, I think, the volunteer.
You know, your phone's really scratchy, man. It's driving me nuts. Yeah, it's,
all right,
it's breaking up. Is there some...
Is it better now?
No, it's not. I'm sorry. Steve Young. Okay, so he ran the Winter Olympics. So did a lot of people. So?
Okay, and he also went to law school.
Yeah, so did 85 billion other guys. No, law school.
Players.
Law school. Open up the yellow pages, man. You want to see how many lawyers there are.
No. I know, but you're saying NFL football players. Not every NFL football player went to law school.
I'm just saying, what did they do that's remarkable that is commensurate with the accolades they get? They do nothing. They play football well, and that's it. Because a guy goes to law school, or because a guy is helping out with the Olympics, there's millions of people doing that stuff. Thank you very much for your call, Mike. But the fact is, because a guy, in other words, does what every other normal human being might do, I'm supposed to kiss his rear end and just say, oh, God, let me have your kid. Let me have your baby, Mr. Sapp. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show website, philhenryshow.com. philhenryshow.com. We'll tell you more. We got Bob Green coming up in the show, a grocer who won't let people use the microwave in the lunchroom to heat up their beef stroganoff from home because it smells like goat. It's the Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686. Now, Phil Henry.
All right, it's time for our mailbag. That ain't exactly the music. I messed that up. Wait a minute. It's time for our mailbag here on the Phil Henry Show, and let's get to it. Phil, I'm from Detroit, and I'm an avid Lions fan. If Matt Millen wants to hire Steve Mariucci, then that's his choice. The Lions tried hiring him a year ago. Finally, they got him, so shut the hell up about the African-American descent bullcrap. You're the blockhead. Love your show, though, Chris. Phil, it was very disheartening to listen to your Wednesday night show, your tirade against President Bush and fundamentalist Christians. I don't understand why you and others who take the same tack continue to equate fundamental Christianity with bigotry and hostility toward others who think differently. Why do you relentlessly smash the two concepts together like globs of different flavored ice cream at Cold Stone? If you oppose negative destructive characters, why not point them out and state your case? Why drag an entire religion along with it? It's not fair. It's not even rational. I don't think you should be prevented from doing your show or saying whatever you have to say, however wrong-headed it might be, but I do wish you would be fair about your views. That's from C.C. Humley. Hi, Phil. Am I a bigot because I don't want someone else's lifestyle shoved down my throat? I never had a problem with gays until they had a parade every other week. I don't shove in everyone's face that I'm heterosexual. Why do I have to have my kids learning how natural gay sex is? Speaking of gay unions, why don't you lube up for Clinton, grab your ankles, and get done with it? I have never heard such idolatry in my life as your worship for him. He has time on his hands. Give him a call. Love the show, Larry. Phil, I friggin' love your show. Wait a minute. I have got to read the other one first, right? First of all, I am definitely not a Kobe Bryant fan. Quite frankly, I could care less whether Kobe's convicted or not. He put himself in that predicament. If he had kept his pants zipped, he wouldn't be in the spot he's in now. But, having said that, Phil, I must say I firmly believe that you have it in for Kobe, as well as other athletes, because of some ridiculous vendetta stemming from an incident you had with an athlete from years ago. If that is not the case, then I apologize, but that is certainly the way I perceive it. Another problem I have with you is how you seem to get defensive when people defend Kobe. That is their right. If Kobe truly raped the woman, he should be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. But at the same time, there's always the chance that he did not. Yolanda P. Finally, Phil, I friggin' love your show. You're a genius, but these dumbasses in charge of your store, they sent me the shot glasses I ordered, and the jackasses at UPS left them on my doorstep when I was out working for a living, and now some dumbass thief is doing Ted Bell shots with my glasses. Thanks a lot. There's our mailbag for today, Thursday. Oh, yeah, the song ends. Yeah, that's what I call hitting the post. Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Here is Doug. Hello, Doug.
Hey, Phil. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
Good. And I got to make this quick now because I've been on hold for 20 minutes. I just got in town from 3 days. My wife's a little bit upset that the first thing I did was get on the phone to talk to you.
That's it's a little weird.
Yes, I know. But I have to set the record straight. No one really held a gun to the people of Tampa. They all voted on this. We tried for years, for a couple of years to get a community investment tax passed so we could have better roads and fire and police protection. And the people of Tampa thought, no, we don't need that. Well, here's an idea. Let's add, in addition to police and fire and roads, a football stadium. So everyone went out and voted for it, and now everyone is happy.
Have you got the police and the fire and the roads?
Well, you know how that goes. They have, actually. Every time something goes up, they say community investment tax at work.
You got the fire, the police, and those investments, but you had to piggyback a stadium onto it. Is that it?
Exactly. And people like me were happy to do it because, you know, being a long time since 1976.
Otherwise, let me get this right, Doug. Otherwise, you were not going to get the increase for the police and the fire.
Well, they hopefully would have come up with another way around to get it, but that's correct.
But that's correct.
However much they've raised.
That's what I mean. I mean, see, you're right. People voted for it. But that's been the excuse for a long time. And now I'm going to put the blame where I believe it really belongs, on the propaganda ministry of sports, and that is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers as just another franchise in what I call, with the greatest of respect to the late, great Lenny Bruce, I call it Sports Incorporated. Did you ever hear Lenny's Religions Incorporated? This is Sports Incorporated. This is one big company with a bunch of franchises. One of them's hockey, another one's basketball, another one's baseball. And these... See, I can hear your wife screaming at you now.
That's my little boy. I have time with him as well. I just want to let you know
go spend time with your son. That's much, much more important. Your wife, I can understand, but your son...
Yeah. All right, Phil.
All right, Doug, thanks. Bye. You got a little boy waiting there to play catch? Want to play ball? Turn the radio off. Even the little lady there, standing there with the apron that says, "We saw Carlsbad Caverns." You know, you want to go and spend time with the family. That's good. Now, look. See, I'm putting it on Sports Incorporated. What, do you think that basketball and football and baseball, they don't coexist? They're not in business with each other? I guess you also believe there was no linkage between Hussein and Osama, right? Ha, ha, ha. Let me tell you. Sports Incorporated. They got the guy there at the head of the table. And he says, "Yeah, we did it. We did it again. This is the, what's the date, Eddie?"
It's the 19th.
Okay, that's great. This is the 150th year that we have stuck it to, broken it off, right up the giggy with a wah-wah brush. The fans of America, give yourselves a hand, boys. Yeah. I see the guys here from the National Hockey League. Good to see you boys down from Canada. Yo, it's really great. Yeah, you guys are always great. Guys from the NFL are here. How's it going? You meathead. Love you. And Gene Upshaw, all you clowns that just blew it for the NFL Players Association. Glad you guys are here and bellying up to the buffet. You guys are about as worthless as, breasts on a boar. But anyway, it's good to see you. And all you guys there from, what do we got down there? The NBA. I thought the circus was out of town. I'm sorry. Nice to see you guys. So you're all here. You can see the charts. The NHL is way up. Because the Americans are finally getting the hang of this hockey thing since Gary, thank you very much, you took over that whole, you got to get out of here with that Prince of Wales bull crap. What are you guys trying to do? Western Conference, Eastern Conference. Western Conference, Eastern Conference. That's what Americans get. You want to sell hockey, you got to sell in America. Good job there, Gary. Nice go. You got to go back to the NBA because it looks like I might need your help here in a few days. All right, David Stein is here. Oh, I always keep getting the name wrong. David Stern, excuse me. Stein, Stern, Iceberg, Goldberg, you know. Now, anyway, now the guy Tagliabue, you know what? You ain't so bad since Roselle. How are we doing with the football? Yeah, it's up 35%, and the Buccaneers are raped three. Now, we got the rapes are at an all-time high now, the NFL. Let's see, and the NBA, you guys are getting on that rape thing, too. Very good with the Kobe thing. Now, who else? Well, we're trying to clean up this book. What? I'm sorry? Well, we're trying to clean up the sport. What do you mean you're trying to clean up the sport? It makes headlines, you idiot. Get over here, Stern. Well, I'm trying to clean... Don't you ever stop basketball players from raping. Do you understand? Get back in your seat. All right, how are you guys in baseball doing? How did that... I know they're down with the cocaine now, but you got guys doing the steroids. That's good.
Yeah, but the cocaine was sexy with Steve Howe.
Well, forget about it. Howe's out of here. Howe's old... He's old news. The steroid thing, that's good. Keeps it on the front pages, okay? Now, if we just had another cat like... who was that scumbag? Was it Vince Coleman that threw the firecracker at the baby outside of Dodger Stadium? If we just had guys like that, I mean, this is going to be... However, you can see baseball is going through the roof. We had a tough time there in 94 when those players and the manager and all that thing. Right? Let me ask you, where was Marge, are you here?
I'm right here.
Where's your dog? Yeah, isn't that Marge Schott is with us. Now, have you... Oh, Mein Kampf. Just move that to the side table. Thanks a lot, Marge. So anyway, guys, that's it. We're doing very well. We're screwing them, sticking it to them, breaking it off, up the giggy, the wah-wah, the whole thing. And I just say I love all of you. And if you wouldn't mind, Marge has got a donation plate there for the Adolf Hitler Youth Fund so we can all... That's fantastic. And Warren said, what's that, Warren? All right, he's got another kid we got to kick in for. So anybody that can, you know, a couple of bucks in their pocket. Well, I'll see you next year in Palm Desert for another meeting of Sports Incorporated. We are really, really, and we'll lube them up good this year. Remember our saying is, we want to put our meat in your, never mind. That's it, Sports Incorporated, with the greatest of respect to Lenny Bruce. And you know what that is? That's the big juggernaut of sports. And the excuse, well, you don't have to vote for it if you don't want to. Well, that's true. That's true. But the guys that are weighing in, the heavy money, the big sports lobby, let's start turning it around a little bit and let's put it where, put the target where it belongs, on the backs of those guys that are lobbying for these ballparks without the least bit of concern for the needs of the community, the least bit of concern. And don't talk to me about how the ball players get out in the community and talk to the kids. You keep your ball players in the locker room where they belong. I'd like somebody talking to my kid that actually doesn't have a criminal record, if you don't mind. Maybe like a scientist, maybe like a math teacher. Well, the kids don't want to see that. Well, it's too bad. What the kids want to see? I'm the adult here. At least that's the last time I checked. Okay, boys, so get out there and screw them again. You guys in the hockey, come on, let's go, 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 go. We got the Phoenix franchise, real good. Gretzky is a big part of that. You know, he's a dumbass. He stands there in front of the bingo games, but he's got a good-looking wife. We can use that. Hey, Wayne, what do you got to say for yourself?
Well, you know, I...
Yeah, that's great. Get Janet up here, okay? Can we get something to look at for a change? Instead of you? What do you think we let you live in America for? Why, because you're good-looking? You got the wife. You got that broad... Oh, God!
Well, I'm going to fly the jet back up to Edmonton and...
Yeah, okay.
You're going to go up there and play some hockey.
Yeah, good for you, Wayne. Thanks. Give me the keys to your car before you leave. 1-800-449-8686. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
The guy that discovered Elvis Presley just died, if anybody cares, his name's Sam Phillips. You might have heard of him. 80 years old. He's the guy that put Elvis Presley under contract and recorded his first songs. Now, that may not sound like such a big thing, but if he hadn't done what he did, then there just wouldn't be any, there wouldn't be no Linkin Park, man. That's just about where it's at. If that cat had not put Elvis Presley under contract and the guy went out and recorded, there'd be no Limp Bizkit. I mean, everything would just be changed. Now you say, well, wait, hold on a minute, you racist bastard, Henry. What about Chuck Berry? What about Little Richard? What about Big Bill Brunzi? What about, you know, that's fine, but the facts are these, that the white mainstream was completely unfamiliar with that music, and they only got familiar with African-American soul, rhythm and blues, and blues by listening first to guys like Elvis and then Jerry Lee Lewis. They went, well, this stuff's okay, but it kind of sucks. Is there anything better? And people, oh, yeah, there is. Here's a guy named Chuck Berry. You know, I like Elvis, but it's kind of like, now I need more. What else you got? We got a guy here by the name of, you know, Little Richard. We got, you know, T-Bone Walk. We got Lightnin' Hopkins, you know, John Lee Hooker, Carl Perkins, one of the darkest, blackest guys. What do you mean, Carl Perkins? Carl Perkins was a whitey. Yeah. Carl Perkins. All those great black artists like Conway Twitty and Dolly Parton. Now, So Elvis was discovered by this cat, and he's now croaked out. And God bless you, Sam. You're in heaven. That's for damn sure. That's for straight, baby. Because, see, back when rock and roll started, a lot of you younger people don't know this. When rock and roll hit, and when I say it hit, it kind of hit slow. First, it started out with those R&B records, what they used to call race records. They were black records. But white kids were listening to it. Well, that freaked out a lot of white people because they didn't want their kids mixing with blacks. And the white kids are now dancing to black music, and the black musicians are playing white kid dances. And now the kids like Elvis Presley are coming up. They listen to this stuff. They go, this stuff's pretty good. Now they start twitching their ass all over the stage. Suddenly it becomes one big sex orgy, and there were women in those large sundresses with Lipton iced tea passing out all over the place. They had those little post-war page boys with the, you know, the butterfly glasses going, and they would just gag when their teenage daughter came in the pedal pushers. And, you know, maybe there was a hint of camel toe. I don't know. I don't know. I'm speculating. Here's Melanie. Hi, Melanie.
Hello.
How are you?
Great. How are you?
Fine, ma'am. Thank you.
I love your show. I was originally going to call and talk about Kobe Bryant.
Why not?
But since I'm calling about from Salt Lake City, I thought I would talk about the Mormons.
Gee, fun.
And I thought, you know, have you ever considered doing a character that was, say, like the Orgasmo character, if you've ever seen that, a Mormon missionary? That would be pretty funny, since you make fun of culture.
Since I make fun of who?
You know, just like a Mormon missionary. Have you ever...
You know, I don't know what is that like? I'm not familiar, seriously, with it.
You know what? I've lived here my whole life,
uh-huh.
And I know they travel all around. They go to where you're from, California. And they wear little, you know, white shirts and ties.
Oh, I've seen them. They're on bicycles and stuff.
Yeah,
I've seen
exactly.
Those guys.
And they give you a Book of Mormon.
Oh yeah.
Well,
you know, they're not as prevalent as the Jehovah's Witness. I will say.
Really?
Yeah, but I'm going to say something about the Mormons. My wife and I were in Salt Lake City last September, and you know our show does very well in Salt Lake City.
Yeah, it does.
We used to marvel at this. Well, that's kind of where the Mormons live. And when we went to Salt Lake and we visited the people. I saw a lot of hard partying people there.
I know.
I mean, I saw that they got those drinking. Yeah, they got those drinking laws in Utah, and I'm telling you, every waitress in every bar would tell me how to get around the drink. I'd say, "Can I get a shot and a beer?" Well, here's what you do: order the beer, and then say 3 seconds later, "I'd like a shot," and then I'll bring it, and I'll go, "Oh yeah, that's. Oh, you haven't finished your beer yet. Oh, okay." So that's how I did it.
I just drink before I go out and get really drunk.
That's perfect, and make sure you drive real fast.
I do.
Yeah, do what the wife of Bob Irsay, whatever the hell her name is, she's the former owner of the Indianapolis Colts. She was airborne going through Indianapolis the other night at 2 a.m., and the cops said she staggered out of the car. It was the funniest thing I've ever read in my life. Thank God she didn't kill anybody. I'll consider the Mormon thing, though, Melanie.
Yeah, it would be funny. You need to see. Have you seen Orgasmo?
No, I have not.
You would like it, I promise.
Okay.
Go rent it. It's a great example
Orgasmo.
Of how to make fun of the culture.
You got it. Thank you very much. I don't want to make fun of no Mormons, you know. I want to make fun of Muslims now. That's my thing. I want to go all out on the Muslims. I think they're a riot. You talk about funny. Since they've been impacting so much that goes on around here lately, since they've been offering up their opinion about how we're nothing but crap, I thought we'd start doing a Muslim character again. Now, we had Raj Fanin, but he's, 1-800-449-8686. James, hi.
Hey, how you doing?
Fine, thank you.
I was just going to comment on the idea that Warren Sapp gets paid too much. Hey, we live in a capitalist country, and
I didn't say he got paid too much.
Supply and demand.
I didn't say he got paid.
Watch that.
Who said he got paid too much?
Well, I just thought you were saying, you know, because of all what he does on the side.
No, no, he gets paid what he deserves. What he doesn't deserve is a stature higher than being a clown, because that's what professional football players are, essentially. Sort of just circus clowns. They run out onto the field and they make us all happy.
Well, hey, and that's fine, and people pay for that. But, I mean, you're pointing out maybe one or two.
So when was the last time Bozo the Clown went to school and talked to people? You know, I mean...
How many can you point out?
What's that?
That are on that kind of level, that the Warren Sapp. Because there's a lot
Michael
of people
Pittman,
that were, you know,
I mean, down. How many years do you want to go back?
Maybe just right now.
Just right now? Let me go to my crime file. I know Janice has it. We got Michael Pittman. We got the guy from the Jaguars. We got the guy down there with the Dolphins who's just been arrested. We got the former New York Giant who's now been arrested for child abuse. We certainly have in basketball Kobe Bryant. We also have George Robinson. You want me to keep going?
Yeah, but if you look at the average population,
I don't give a crap about the average population. I don't give a crap. You know what? I don't go out and commit those crimes. I'm supposed to give these guys a pass. Nobody I know goes out and commits those crimes. What's this about? And these guys are talking, Darren Smith with the Buccaneers waving a gun around, and I'm supposed to have him talking to a bunch of school kids 5 months off after this gun-waving punk gets arrested for that? I don't care what the percentage is. These guys have been elevated too high for what they do. They play football, and that's it. And beyond that, they go out into the world and create all kinds of mayhem and pain and angst for everybody associated with them. And I say the time has come, and sports fans are sensing it, the time has come to cut these guys off of the ankles, and that's what's going to happen, whether they like it or not. And I don't go out and wave guns around. I don't go out and father children illegitimately. I don't go out. So what? And nobody's given me any breaks on my taxes. Nobody. I haven't got a press spokesman. I haven't got somebody who's.
Oh, you can't talk to Phil today because he's very.
You know? I don't have people saying, well, that's cool, Phil. You imagine if I was fathering children out of wedlock. How long do you think I'd have this radio show? Honest to God, if it made the news that I was paying child support to all kinds of women. If I was waving guns in traffic, I got a morals clause. I'm gone, man. I'm gone. If I'm convicted of domestic abuse, how long do you think it's going to be before I lose this gig? And the listeners would be screaming for my blood. They'd want me out of here because I'm the big mouth on the radio that pisses them off, right? But Warren Sapp, Kobe Bryant, Michael Pittman, all the rest of these scumbags, all these guys, oh, well, you know, it's just a percentage of society. Yeah. Well, here's my percentage, and it ain't too much right now. I was going to say I have it swinging, but anyway, 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Dolphins Severance charged with making harassing phone calls. Dolphins are investigating the arrest of linebacker Justin Severance, who was jailed 2 weeks ago after North Carolina investigators said he made harassing phone calls to his former girlfriend. Is he guilty? Is he innocent? Oh, he's probably innocent. It's probably just a, you know, a misunderstanding. Bill Parcells axes Dallas Cowboy defensive back. I think he's a defensive back. Yeah, safety Keith Davis after he was involved in a shooting outside of a Dallas topless bar. And keep in mind that Parcells would never, never have cut this guy were he a big-name guy. So it's a gutless move. Gutless move, Parcells. You know, who are you kidding? So he makes the big statement with some punk face that doesn't mean jack to the team anyway. New York Giants, oh, they really need Keith Hamilton to rebound after he was arrested for having cocaine, marijuana, and alcohol in his sports utility vehicle. Look, I don't mind so much a guy taking drugs. See, that to me, it doesn't bother me, really. Crimes of violence, that's where I draw the line. Crimes of waving guns and things. If a guy wants to do coke, marijuana, or alcohol, if he wants to be a moron, that's his business. It's not going to keep me from really, I'm not going to call the guy out specifically for that. But what I find interesting about this is not the first time. One time, you know, maybe you're unlucky. Two times, you're a jackass. They ought to cut you just for the art of cutting people. So there's another guy. Let's see, we could go, as a matter of fact, if you'd like to check it out, great resources, profootballfanatics.com. Go there. They got a NFL crime file that is just overflowing with information about these people. Now we're going to go to our flashback, and we have Jeff Dowder. And Jeff was talking about what the other day? Was he on yesterday? Oh, yeah. Jeff was, he has the organization that reminds people, hey, you know, your kid's been missing for a few years. Have you gone out and looked for him lately?
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy Gold.
Hi there.
Yes, hey, ma'am.
I don't mean to get so aroused at this, but, you know, why don't they just solicit these people as soon as the child is missing and ask if they want to be put on a list of to be reminded?
Oh, you know, we could send it to the mail, but we think the personal touch is a lot better when you reach out for the personal touch.
Okay, can I tell you something?
Uh-huh.
I hope I never have a child go missing, but I don't need someone like you to call me. And if I decide that I want to block it out of my mind, not out of my heart so much, but out of my mind, what right do you have to call me unsolicited to remind me?
Well, it's a very good
question.
It's a good question. I'll just say, Leslie, I would call you up and I'd say, I know maybe you've wanted to put it out of your mind, but you might want to, you know, and I say, I use colloquial terms. You might want
to
move your butt and get out and do something, you know, instead of just sitting there and doing nothing. But you wouldn't want a friendly reminder, you know, just...
No, I would not. If my child is missing for 30 years,
right.
I'm maybe 80 years old now...
What are you doing
you
about it?
You think I need some idiot to call me up to tell me my child is missing?
Well, ma'am,
no, thank you.
Well, ma'am, you call me an idiot, but you're the one that lost the kid, see? So
wait a minute. You don't have any right to right to invade my home.
Well, that
I think that's a very good point.
Well, that is a good point, but
you are invading my home. I did not solicit your call.
Right. But all I'm saying
is wait a minute, you have no right.
All
that is not your that's not your chosen right.
What if I just simply call up and in a very friendly way said, "Hey Leslie, you might want to just get up off your can today and go out and look for your kid." Or something
no,
like that.
I don't want that phone call because, can I tell you, as a parent,
you know,
I would have exhausted all efforts to try and find my child.
Now, one of the things in your brochure says we like to call on the birthday of the child. Why?
Because that gets a little bit more, if we call when the kid's birthday, the kid's been missing, say, for 10 years, we call on their birthday, it gets people, it motivates them a little bit. See, number one, the thing we're trying to do is get these parents to, you know, put down the TV remote, put down the bowl of chili, get up off their butt, and go out and look for their kid. I mean, what's the big thing with that?
After 20 years, where would you suggest they start?
Wherever they lost them. I mean, you
see, oh, yeah,
start at the mall. Start at the mall.
30 years ago, I lost my kid at the mall.
I'm not going to waste another minute on you, but
well, okay, but I mean, it's your kid that's missing, not mine, and I'm just... Our main purpose is for the good of the child. We're trying to help
You're not doing anything for the good of the child. Not one iota. The police have done it.
When did you lose your kid?
They've looked all over, and after 20 or 30 years, unless they find the bones or something or just some miracle happens,
right.
Reminding them isn't going to bring that child back, sweetheart.
They found that Elizabeth Smart kid. And
you
the
ha- wait a minute.
They found
you
that
have
Elizabeth me. Smart because people kept reminding her parents to keep looking. And if
after,
they had,
you're calling people that could be 30, 10, 20 years,
yeah.
And
well,
you know, they
you,
don't need...
When did you lose your kid?
Calling, bye now.
When did you lose your kid?
I'm sorry.
When did you lose your kid?
I would be so wrecked.
Did you check under the bed? Did you look... children can get lost in a lot of places.
Your society are idiots.
You know, ma'am, if you lost your kid, I'd be out looking for him, not calling up a talk show.
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
What a moron. Jeff Dowder. One of the great morons of all time on our show when he's not driving a snowplow for the city of Huntington Beach. 1-800-449-8686 here on the Phil Henry Show. And coming up, we will be talking with Bob Green. Bob is the CEO of Fraser Foods. And Mr. Green says that he is no longer going to be allowing people to use the microwave in the lunchroom at his place of business because, hey, guess what, man? You know, the food that you guys bring in from home in the Tupperware smells like you're cooking someone's pet. And we'd rather that you guys not be involved in it at all. Don't forget, our website is philhenryshow.com, philhenryshow.com, and that's the place where you go to check out our website, or check out, I should say, our souvenir shop. And the souvenir shop is a tremendous place where you can pick up all the Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt. You can get the new Ted's of Beverly Hills shot glasses, the new Ted's of Beverly Hills barbecue apron. We also have the Western Estates Homeowners Association spa robe. We have the polo shirt. We have the new Western Estates Homeowners Association baseball cap. And new, the Western Estates tote bag. It's a beautiful canvas tote bag that I think you'll dig. We also have the Jay Sano Citizens Auxiliary Police gear. And if you wouldn't mind, I think it would be a very sweet thing. Pick up our CD, our Best of CD. The money goes to my friend's place, the Resource Center for Homeless and Runaway Kids out in Hollywood, California. And it's something we just like to do. And we do appreciate the support that you guys give the people at my friend's place every day. Younger women who regularly eat foods containing certain types of fat may be increasing their chances of developing breast cancer. A new research suggests. Now, there was a man who died recently, And I was turned on to him in Miami by Neil Rogers. His name was Robert Atkins. Robert Atkins said that he felt there was a link between breast cancer and women and carbohydrate intake and fat intake. And when you think about it, why did Linda McCartney, who had no genetic history of breast cancer, who was absolutely one of the fastidious people in terms of her health, how could a person like that get it? There may be a clue in the taking on a carbohydrates. Now, I know breast cancer ain't the big thing for a lot of guys to talk about, right? But if you have a woman in your life, then you ought to be concerned about breast cancer, pal. I don't care who you are. If you like women and you happen to have one or two or six in your life, then you ought to be thinking about breast cancer, because I'm telling you right now, it kills a lot of women, and we really ought to figure out what the hell's going on with it. And it ain't too cool. Atkins said it might be a lot of carbohydrates, man, non-protein stuff. Because you know how women are. Oh, and I don't want to, you know, a little bit of a chicken breast and a large salad and this and that because I want to keep my figure. No, wait a second. I tell my wife now, I said, you're eating a steak. I don't give a crap. Well, why do you think? I just eat the steak. Get out of here with that other stuff. Well, I like just a nice light salad with some watermelon. I said, steak. So now all of us, by the way, those of you who know the name Robert Atkins, you know the guy I'm talking about, right? Because everybody knows the name Robert Atkins. Oh, everybody's on the Atkins diet. Oh, yeah, sure. Do you know how that man was vilified and was absolutely called a kook and a quack and was kicked around by the medical establishment for 20-plus years? Do you know that guy was just nothing but a piece of crap for 20-plus years until finally everybody got hip to his diet? That was what was going on with him. And he said, I heard him in a live interview say, I believe there's a connection between breast cancer and the carbohydrate and fat intake. Now, this guy had to really, if you listen to Robert Atkins interviewed, he's a feisty cat. He doesn't take crap because he's listened to a lot of boneheads down through the years. This is a guy that came up with that diet, that Atkins diet. You know why he came up with it? Because he had people who were cardiac patients who were going to die. I mean, they were going to die. And he didn't have time to do any fancy ass count your calories bull crap. And he didn't have time to do any fancy-ass this or that. He had to come up with a diet that was going to save people's lives today, right now. Something that was immediately going to start to burn fat. And that's when he developed the Atkins diet. Personally, I don't know, man. You can talk to your doctor. But like I say, if you're a man, you've got a wife and or a girlfriend, you ought to be interested in this. You should talk to a doctor about getting her off of all that carbohydrate baloney and get her, going down that steak road, if you know what I'm saying. More meat. Way more meat. If you can fill the order, pal. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Sorry, I had to just throw in that gratuitous remark, but it seemed like the right moment. Here's Mark. Hi, Mark. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi, Phil. Love your program.
Thanks.
Hey, you're such a remarkable and insightful entertainer. I don't miss a program, bro.
Thanks, dude. And you're on XM Radio, huh? That's pretty sweet. Are you a truck driver?
Yes, sir. Coast to coast, cool. Over the road.
Yeah, a lot of the guys, a lot of the truckers listen on XM. It's great.
Oh, it is, absolutely. Hey, have you heard the latest regarding the Kobe Bryant defense?
No, sir.
He's going to, looks like they're going to blame the sports fan. And bear with me here. It's the sports fan who's watching the televised sporting events, which allow the sponsors to finance those huge network contracts that are made with all these professional leagues, which in turn help finance these player salaries, namely Kobe Bryant in this case. So if Kobe didn't make all this money because of the sports fan, then this girl obviously wouldn't have went to his room. What's your take on that?
I don't understand. Are you telling me that Kobe Bryant's defense is actually doing this?
Yeah, Kobe Bryant's defense is going to blame it on the sports fan because that's how he makes
money. You read that today?
Excuse me?
You read that today in a paper or something? Or are you just putting me on? You're putting me on, right?
Well, you can take it.
Get out of here. Here is George. Hi, George.
Hey, Phil. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, I used to live in Columbus, Ohio from like 95 to 2001.
Uh-huh.
In like 97 or so, the NHL said, we're granting a franchise to the city of Columbus, Ohio, if you guys build a hockey arena for us.
Yeah.
So the city of Columbus says, all right, guys, we're going to raise the sales tax by 1 cent. We'll build this beautiful stadium. It'll make money for the city. You guys will all love it. Just say yes to the referendum. The city said, you can take your penny and shove it up your you-know-what.
Did they really?
They certainly did. And then, because it was such a money-making proposition, Nationwide Insurance, who's based there, said, all right, we'll build the stadium privately. Stadium was built privately. stadium is now full for most of the games, and this franchise isn't winning a lot of games, but they're not taking money from the city. And even better than this, the city of Columbus Public Schools used their leverage, and to this day, a dollar is added to every ticket sold in that arena to go to the public schools.
Now, that's a beautiful thing.
It's awesome. That's it's really beautiful.
That's the people of Columbus.
Columbus, Ohio.
You know, they got something going on in Ohio. They got another guy down in Cincinnati. I don't know if you heard of this guy who's suing the Bengals because they stink so bad.
That's right. He said the contract stipulated that the team put out a competitive product on the field.
Right.
And if anybody watches the NFL, I don't think the Bengals have been anything near competitive in a very long time.
That's correct. You know what? I knew there's something about Ohio I liked. I should have taken that job in Akron when I had the chance.
A little colder than it is down in Miami. I guess you're in LA now, right?
It's a great place.
I miss it a lot.
Now that's
really
fantastic. So they take a dollar off of the tickets to the Blue Jackets?
Well, not just anything in the stadium, whether it's a concert or
it goes to the Columbus Public Schools.
It's a dollar surcharge on every ticket that goes to the public schools.
You know, I'm beginning to think that now that it's turning a little bit, and that the sports fans are starting to get a little sniff on this thing. That's great because Columbus had no major league franchise before the NHL came there.
Well, and they had tried since the 70s, every couple of years, every 5 or 10 years, they tried to get a similar tax passed. And I think it was like 5 times over the course of 20 years or so. The city said no.
Yeah.
And then finally they said, well, all right, Nationwide will build it privately. And it's been a pretty big success ever since.
Yeah, look at that. Well, see, Columbus is a big city. I mean, people will laugh, but it's a bigger city than Cleveland or Cincinnati, isn't it?
Well, the city proper, it's the 15th largest city in the country. But when you incorporate the suburbs, the city of Columbus is smaller than those two cities.
There you go. Take a clue from Columbus. Okay, thanks, George.
My pleasure, Phil.
Take a clue from Columbus, Ohio. They stood up to the National Hockey League. Well, that's just wonderful. I hope you have success. We wish you well. Well, no, we want you to build a stadium. We're not building you a stadium. We're not going to build you a skating rink. Here, I'll tell you what. I'll turn my hose on this basketball court, and it'll freeze up in the winter. They'll play there.
Well, don't you know who we are?
We don't care who you are. We got kids to educate. We got children to educate. You know, we got a ball field I want to build for my kids. Maybe I want to play a little baseball over here. I got a library to build. I got roads to pave. What the hell do you think this is anyway? We're in the middle of a recession, you jackass. What are you talking about? I'm going to build you a stadium. You better get down on your knees and you better. You want a stadium, pal? You can, in the words of Joey A. and Bugsy, why don't you suck it right out of the, anyway. That's great. Good for Columbus. Do we have an affiliate in Columbus? Probably they're too bright in that town for this show. They wouldn't want this show in Columbus because they got their brains together there. 1-800-449-8686. We would be proud to be on the air in Columbus. I just want to say that. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
And now more on The Phil Henry Show.
Hi, I'm Elvis Presley, and when I'm in town, I listen to The Phil Henry Show, celebrity voice impersonator.
Train a ride, 16 coaches long. Train a ride, 16 coaches long. Well, that long black train got my baby and gone. Train, train, coming round the bend. Train, train, coming round the bend. Well, it took my baby, but it never will again. No, not again. Train, train, coming down the line. Train, train, coming down the line. Well, it's bringing my baby.
Oh, she's mine, oh, oh, mine, she's mine, oh, oh, mine.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.